It works. Good morning. Am I on? My microphone is on. I know that. I turned it on. Hello, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you, Adrian, and everyone else who was involved in inviting us here. It's lovely to be here and to come and worship with you. So I'm here with Helen, who is my beautiful lady. We've been married 45 years, I think. Is that right? And we retired 3 years ago from Kent, where we were working in a group of four very rural, very traditional Anglican parishes. And that was hard work. And we retired to Malmesbury 3 years ago and live very close to the Abbey, and we go to the Abbey to worship. We go to the morning service and the evening service. So Helen is a teacher. She's a teacher of English as a foreign language. She's a teacher of Italian, and she's also incredibly good with people's names and faces. And she loves working with children, so she helps with our little stars toddler group on a Monday morning at the church. And as for me, I was trained as a scientist, spent a lot of time working as a research scientist in academic research and then in a big pharmaceutical company. Then I got ordained late in life. And Helen and I were working with a church plant, a very non-traditional, very non-Anglican Anglican church plant, which then planted again into another small town. And we were there a number of years. And then I got ordained, and we had to move on to something very different. So that's who I am. But who I most identify with being actually is a beloved child of God. That's who I am, really. And if I hadn't known that through my time as a scientist and my time as a vicar, I would not have got to where I am now. Because God, as my Father, loves me and looks after me. There are times when I've done exactly what it says in Psalm 107. I don't know whether you were paying very close attention or whether you had your Bibles open when we read Psalm 107. There's a lovely, it's a series of verses, if you like, or paragraphs that talk about the trouble that people got into and their response was, they cried out to the Lord. So the first few verses are like this. Give thanks to the Lord, he's good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. And I think that's just such an important thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And I want to say that I believe each one of us has a story to tell of how much God loves us, what he's done for us in our lives. And we have a story to tell, and we shouldn't be afraid to tell it. We shouldn't be afraid to tell our friends, our neighbors, our families, the people we perhaps sometimes meet in the street, when we meet and have that conversation. And we have that. Sometimes it's a funny conversation, isn't it? We say, how are you? And they say, fine. And then they say, how are you? And we say, fine. And then we walk on. But sometimes you can have more of a conversation than that. If you're listening, you can hear that they're not fine. Or for yourself, it may be that you're not feeling very fine, and you say fine, but actually, and if they're listening, you can have a conversation, and the conversation can go deeper. And you can say, well, that, you don't sound very fine. tell me about it. And that works both ways. Or you might be having something on your heart and you say, I'm fine, but. And why not share a little more? Why not say what it is that's on our hearts? Why not tell our story? Or why not ask what the problem is? And then you can say to the person, and we all can do this, can I pray for you? You know, if there's a situation that they've talked about. And most, in my experience, 99% of people will say, yes, that'd be lovely. And then if I'm feeling really pushy, or if I'm feeling a little nudge from God, I will say, can I pray for you now? And most people will say yes. And I'd make it very simple. I might put a hand on their shoulder if they're happy with that. And I'll say, dear Lord, you know the problem with whatever his name is. Please help sort it out. Amen. Who can't say that prayer? Lord, you know the problem. Please help sort it out. Amen. And do you know that prayer is so effective? God hears those kind of prayers and he answers in astounding ways. And I haven't got time. I shouldn't even have gone on where I've gone now. I haven't got time to talk about the times that God has answered that prayer. And it's just wonderful. But so the problem that the people that the Psalm 107 is describing, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city. They were lost. And then the next paragraph, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. They were oppressed. They were in chains, whether it was physical or mental or psychological. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquity. They just didn't understand where they were going, what was happening in life. And then there's another verse we didn't read. Some went out on the sea in ships, and then they got into a big storm. In each of these cases, there's a refrain comes. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And that refrain comes four times through that psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And then it goes through these four ways that people were in trouble. Then they cried to the Lord, and he heard them. He hears our cry. And our cry so often is for justice. Let me tell you a little story. I don't know whether God speaks to you. Anyone? God speak to? I believe God speaks to all of us through the Bible, of course. But just very occasionally, he'll make it much more direct. And it's happened to me three or four times, I think, in my life. Maybe a bit more, but it's pretty rare when I kind of wake up knowing, or I'm suddenly aware that God has. We use the word spoken, but it doesn't really mean spoken, does it? I mean, we're aware that God has prodded us. And I was once on a train going from Oxford to Leeds, and I read Isaiah 58, and God prodded me through that reading, and I won't turn to it now, but it's all about justice. Isaiah talks about how the people of Israel like to fast, like to do all the right things, but yet the day of their fasting, he says, was spoiled by their bad behavior, by the way they oppressed people, by they exploited their workers. And Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah, is not this the fast that I choose? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. That's what God wants, people living lives of justice. And it's the same in James 2, isn't it? We know that verse in James 2 when James says, if you see somebody who's in trouble or in need, and you say, basically paraphrasing, have a nice life, have a nice day, and you don't do anything about it, then what good is that? It's no good. Another time God, I believe, spoke to me, and this was not just through reading his word, but I woke up in the one morning absolutely convinced that God had prodded me and said, I'm going to show you something this morning from the scriptures. And I said, yeah, right, because God's never done that before. And I was reading through Luke 17 at the time, and I got to these verses that we had read for us just now. And the apostles, if you remember, say to Jesus, increase our faith. And he says, well, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, or you can say to this mountain, be moved. And then the next little bit, it talks about, suppose one of you as a servant. And I never connected those two things together. I just thought Jesus was saying, well, you just have got to have faith. You've got to have faith just as small as a mustard seed, and then everything's fine. But actually, what I believe God showed me that morning was that that little question about faith and the what Jesus says next about suppose one of you has a servant looking after the sheep and the fields and he comes in, you don't say to him, sit down and have a meal with me. You say to him, make me my dinner, and then you can sit down and eat. And Jesus ends by saying, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. And I believe that those two things, that little paragraph and the paragraph about increasing our faith, are absolutely connected. And what Jesus is saying is, just do as you're asked. And it will happen. Just have the faith to do what I'm asking you to do. You don't need superhero faith that's as much bigger than a mustard seed. You just need a tiny bit of faith just to do what God asks you to do. And I believe that if I do what God wants me to do, or asks me to do, then he will make it so that everything else happens. And I've got stories I could tell, which I'm not going to now because we don't have time. I got stories to tell about how God has prodded me in a particular direction. And I've said, really? and yet I've gone ahead because I've felt that's what God wanted me to do. And things have just happened. So what relevance has all this got to do with Home Mission Sundays, which I think is what we're doing. Is that right? Well, I'll tell you. It's Falcon Camps or Falcon Holidays. And I believe that we've been talking about justice, and I believe that for many of the kids that we work with at Falcon Holidays, what we do is about bringing some justice into their lives and offering them some way out of injustice and trying to deal, even at the simplest level, of the injustices in our world. Many of these children are severely deprived. Many of them have difficulties, just a whole range of difficulties that you can just imagine. And some of them have got multiple kinds of difficulties, family issues, all kinds of things. And I believe it's about bringing justice into the world in a very small way. I believe that's what, at Falcon Camps, Falcon Holidays, that's what we're trying to do, to just redress a little bit of that imbalance in the world. And as Adrian has already said, you know, 17 years ago or whatever it was, a girl from Malmesbury was singing in a donkey field. And why? Because somebody in somewhere had the faith just to do what God asked them to do. And CPAS have been running these holidays for children for many, many years because they felt called to do so. And those of us who take part in Falcon Holidays feel similarly called to do so. And if you speak to Helen and me afterwards, you'll probably discover that we both think we're completely bonkers. Because who would give up 2 weeks of their life to live in an incredibly noisy environment where you don't have a moment to yourself? You're lucky if you get 5 hours sleep a night. And I am. But we go back. We're going again this year. Helen only did 2 weeks. Yeah, only did 1 week the first year we went, and the second year. The second year we went, I did 2 weeks because I'm bonkers. And we're both, I think, are we both doing 2 weeks this? We're both doing 2 weeks this year. Heavens, we're 70. Well, actually, Helen isn't. She's much younger. And, you know, why are we doing it? Because we're bonkers? Because we feel that it was nothing to do with Simon Shaw twisting our arms at all, or Adrian. But we do it because we think it's the right thing to do, because we feel that it's something that God's asked us to do. It's something we can do. So I don't know how long I've got, Adrian. Falcon Camps at Perrott Hill happens. This is the view from one of the dorms. It's a great school. That's the site plan. There's loads of space to run around in. That's an aerial view of the school, and that's a kind of front view. And we take these kids away for a week at a time, and on a Falcon camp, Falcon holiday. And I tell you, it's full on. This is a Tuesday, so after breakfast, well, you can see what we do. It's absolutely full on until from when they get up. What time do they get up, Adrian? Quarter to eight. So we've already been up for an hour or more before then. And after breakfast, there's all these activities. And then you get to bedtime. And then you've got to try and get them to settle down and go to sleep. So the kind of things we do, among other things, the balloon game, which I pulled both my Achilles tendons doing the first year. Running around a field with balloons, archery videos, wide games, swimming, the beach, amusement park, so many things. And they just love this stuff. But for some of them, it's quite difficult to get them to have a go at it. And because it's outside of their experience. But when you can get the kids to try something new, or to taste something new, it's a real triumph. We go swimming twice a week, or more even, actually. Is it something like twice a week-ish? It's near Crewkerne. So that's all the activities go on. But then spiritually, we work quite hard with them too. We have morning devotions for the leaders. We have an evening meeting, and we have bedtime prayers and a story if we can cope. and actually, the story time is actually sometimes the most significant time for those kids, because they often don't get stories at home. It's tiring. This is on the way to this, to probably the Creeley. It really is tiring. That was you, Adrian. It's fun. It's great fun up on the high wires. It's something actually I can't do. I've tried to do it. I just can't do it. But lots of people can. Around the campfire. It's really challenging as well. So this is a picture. You can't see the kids because we're not allowed to do that. But you can see their legs. This is a pair of siblings, who one of whom just could not do it, but was determined to walk these high. These are the very high wires, not just the high wires. These are the incredibly high wires. I can tell you, it's really scary. And the child behind is the sister. Yeah, I think the sister of the one in front. And there was this constant, come on, you can do it, you can do it. This constant encouragement, not just from the sister, but from those of us who were on the ground, encouraging. And it was so moving to see these kids do something that's totally out of their experience, totally what they didn't want to do, but yet they did want to do it. And they wanted to say, I can do that. And it was wonderful. It's also very, we take it very seriously as well. We have a great deal of fun, but it's serious. And in our evening meetings, we were talking about the environment last year. We talked over the series of evenings about God's good creation, about what went wrong, about what we try to do to fix it, about God's fix for it, and what our response might be, and then what the future would be. And we gave the kids a set of cards at the end of the week, just like this, to take home to remember. God looked at what he had done, and all of it was very good. And then something about the fact that we're all responsible for the mess we're in. And that actually Jesus offers us freedom and sets us free from the things that that oppress us, and sets us free from sin. And then we offered an opportunity for people to respond, and to make a personal response if they wanted to. And then the final evening was about carrying on this verse from Joshua, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. There isn't sound on this, but you can see what's going on. Or you can hear it here. That's one of our leaders, Georgie, on the right, being very naughty with one of the other leaders on the high wire. And you might not hear it, but as he falls off, the bar swings back and clunks him, and he goes, oof! So we decided that Georgie needed a punishment. And so there's a bucket of cold water there. But we wanted to demonstrate what Jesus has done for us. So Simon volunteers to take her place.
Thank you.
It is fun, but it's serious as well. So, you know, it was just demonstrating something. Have you ever seen anyone move out of a seat so quickly? And then we mixed up the evening meetings, and we had videos, we had all kinds of different things, and there was always a response activity, and this is what the children did at one time. They brought their pebbles as a way of saying, actually, these pebbles represent the things that I've done wrong, the things I feel responsible for, and I just want to give them to God. And I think every child brought a pebble. So I please ask you to pray for Falcon Holidays. Pray for the children. Pray for the younger leaders. We try to recruit younger leaders and bring them in. We pray for our older leaders. Are we the oldest, Helen?
Speak for yourself. I'm not going to look around the room.
It is challenging both for the children and for us. And pray for safety, would you please? Pray for the activities, pray for creativity as we think about the coming year, and pray for the spiritual development of everyone there, and not just the children, but for those of us who are leaders as well. We're all on a journey, we're all and we all need to develop further with God. So please, would you pray? And there's also the matter of finance. Church Pastoral Aid Society, make sure these things happen, but it's not always easy for them to raise the money they need. So that would be good as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. It's our desire that these children would have the doorway to the kingdom opened to them, that they catch a glimpse of what the kingdom of God is about. And then, whether then or whether later on in life, they cry to the Lord. That response, then they cried to the Lord in their distress, and the Lord heard them. So what we're trying to do is to open just a window for these children to understand something of God's love. And that might be an understanding of just the physical fact of being with them for that week, giving them a break, giving their parents a break, whatever it might be, letting them have a different experience. And we pray that at some point in their lives they will know that God is real, that God reaches out to them. And while they might be lost, while they might be in darkness, while they might be in a bad place because of rebellion, whatever it might be, God will answer when he's called on.